Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at MikeMMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at TypingWhenTipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contest prizes, by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it, wherever you get your favorite podcast, to like, rate, review, and share us, and please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network.
Welcome in, friends, to the best damn pop culture podcast in Chicago, in the galaxy, in the universe, in the Spider-Verse, in the Speed Force. It's the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers here on the Mercado Airwaves Network. I'm your host, Mike Mercado, with the one, the only, the good brother himself, Alex Mercado. How's it going, good brother?
Good. How's it going over there?
Everything appears to be everything good, brother. We talked about it a little bit on the previous episode. You came up with a fun Universal Studios theme. What is the top five for today's episode?
So we're going to keep on with the Universal, but we're going to take a little detour to their cousins at DreamWorks Universal. And we're going to talk about the top five Universal DreamWorks animated films to us.
So for anybody who doesn't know, and the good brother and I did a little research about this going into this episode, is DreamWorks was actually its own company, and kind of like Pixar. And obviously everything that we saw with Universal and with Disney throughout all these acquiring and all these hostile takeovers, DreamWorks was one of those. So there's a lot of films that came from Universal Cartoons, and there's a lot of films that are coming from DreamWorks. Now, good brother, with your opinion, which one do you like more, Pixar or DreamWorks?
I think when it comes to film, I think Pixar, they're both great. They both have their, you know, their hits. I would say overall, Pixar, if we did a straight time list, Pixar would have more people on it. But I think DreamWorks, when it hits, it's some of the best animated cinema we have. Yeah, I would definitely say it would be, go number-wise toward Pixar. I think ranking-wise, Universal definitely, what DreamWorks has, some very, very good classics.
And with that in mind, good brother, let's take a look at some of those top classics as we give our top five Universal Studio cartoon movies. And I will start off with, at number five, good brother, I have the classic, the one that is endeared in all of our hearts. I'm talking about Littlefoot and His Friends. I'm talking about The Land Before Time. It is a movie that taught us about death, about friendship. It, of course, has to deal with dinosaurs. Who doesn't love dinosaurs? The animation itself, what makes it so cool is it is of its time. The creepiness and the scary moments from it come from the type of animation that it is. And it's also a really important film because it's kids' first movie into real life. You know, the way Bambi was for a lot of kids back in the day, that's what I think The Land Before Time was for a lot of kids. And the storylines are all relatable. They're all life lessons. And they made a bajillion different sequels. I have it as my number five film, The Land Before Time.
Yeah, The Land Before Time are definitely classics. And they've kind of lasted the test of time where we see so many sequels nowadays. I like a couple of the first two. I think they went down that trail of there are so many of them. They're so almost forgettable at this time. But I think I like the characters, I like the universe, but definitely one of those movies that you remember at least some sort of something about those movies, whether it's the death part, the friendship part, the cool bad guys that they have with these dinosaurs. You'll remember something even if you don't enjoy the franchise. So it's definitely one of those picks that didn't make my list, but I definitely appreciate the movie.
And we'll talk about it as we go on through these lists. But one of the things that you'll notice from these movies that have a lot of like scary moments, but also, you know, those moments that really embroidered themselves into us, it's because of the animation style. And you see a lot of that in The Land Before Time and a couple of these movies that we're going to talk about in these Universal films that we don't get in Pixar or DreamWorks films. So I think it's a really cool uniqueness to that. But good brother, what's your number five movie?
My number five is one of those forgotten animated films. It's The Road to El Dorado. And a little biased pick because it is two Spaniards, and you know, all Hispanics are from Spain. That's the motherland, so that's always fun. You know, it's these two goofy guys searching for gold, finding the gold, and learning about this Native Hispanic culture. And I loved all that going on. I loved the animation style. I loved the adult humor in it. It was definitely one of those where the ties started turning. You start really catching these little moments. So it may be one of those obscure movies, but it makes my list on a personal level. So number five, Road to El Dorado.
The Road to El Dorado, fun movies that came out around the same time of those Disney animations where they were still a little colorful to them. They were starting to move into the CGI. There was a lot of adult humor in it. And obviously for us, being able to get a chance to kind of enjoy the heritage and the Hispanic heritage, the Latin heritage, is always a lot of fun. There's a lot of cool imagery in it because of the war paints, you know, the whole historic rhetoric that is that. But I think that's a really interesting, and we don't get a lot of movies like that anymore.
Exactly, and it's a lost art form, and like I said, it was more of a transition period, and I think some people look back at it as, oh, it was that time, like, they don't really have fond memories, but I definitely think you and me, I looked at our list, and there's definitely a few movies that fall in that category of, at its time, it was one of the biggest things, and it's just kind of gotten lost to time, and that's kind of upsetting, because I do think these movies have a good message in them.
Good, brother. At number four, Somewhere Out There, If Love Can See Us Through, I have as my number four film, An American Tale, Five-O Ghost West. To me, this movie hit me at the perfect age where I was afraid to get lost from my parents. The thought of not being with your family, being separated, and the adventure of getting back together, the whole hardship of being by yourself and going to the West, and this immigrant story. At the end of the day, this is an immigrant story. And for a lot of people, in the simplicity that was that as a children of just watching cute mice and these dangerous little animals chase them and, you know, this grand adventure, that was one thing. Looking at it as an adult, it's a story about immigrants and about a family trying to get back together. And whether you're from Jewish descent, Hispanic descent, African descent, you know, Irish, Polish, you could find something in this movie. And this isn't a Disney movie. This isn't a movie that when we think of like Bambi and we think about all these other Snow Whites and Cinderellas, when we talk about Five-O Goes West, it's a movie that could have been, if we had put little actors of this, had this been Haley Joel Osment, this would be an American Academy Award nominated movie. I think Five-O Goes West is so important, and it's endearing, it's a classic, it's nostalgia in all the best ways. I have An American Tale, Five-O Goes West as my number four movie.
Beautiful movie with a beautiful story, and to me, even better music. I think the soundtrack is still to this day one of the nicest soundtracks we've ever had in just a lot of films. And I think if you ask a lot of movie pundits, they'd agree that soundtrack has lasted the test of time, and I really enjoy it. It was my honorable mention as a film, but I definitely remember a lot of the music and just how sweet of a movie it really was.
Good, brother. Who came in at number four for you?
Number four for me was another one of those movies that gets forgotten, and it's Spirit Stallion. And it was Matt Damon lending his voice. It's the tale of this horse that, you know, we basically see his life in the Revolutionary War time. And it's a horse that doesn't want to just be another normal horse. So it gets caught up in the Revolutionary War as a war horse. And, you know, eventually wants to be free from that to be another independent horse. And it's got a beautiful soundtrack. And I loved at the time the story it tells of being a rebellion and trying to go out and live your own life just to kind of learn the lesson of you do need a family and you can always go home and it's okay to not always be a rebel. So it's one of those movies that definitely stuck with me. It looked beautiful. It sounded beautiful. Again, there's not a lot of talking in the film. It's definitely one of those movies that there's not a lot going on, but when there is, it catches you. And again, it looks so good. So that's my number four, Spirit Stallion.
That's a fun pick. Very underrated. Really well done animation-wise. Again, because it doesn't have that Disney logo to it, it has a hard time getting past that stigma of just another cartoon. But it really is a fascinating film and a really lovely one at that. Good, brother. Speaking of lovely films, at number three for me, I have one that I know personally is really important to both you and I, and it's not even because of the subject matter about it, but the nuance in it, and the beauty in it, and the music in it, the animation in it, the voice acting of it. At number three, I have The Prince of Egypt. Now, obviously, with the story of Moses and his relationship with Ramses, and the entire plague, and the firstborn, and parting of the seas, but when you hear that musical score of Let My People Go, it'll make you feel things. whether or not you're religious or not, I think that's a different part of a conversation. The beauty in that movie is something that we would have seen in the Ten Commandments or in Chariots of Fire or one of these movies. And the fact that it was a DreamWorks film in 1998 and Batman himself is the voice of Moses. It's a great movie. It's a great part of religious history. It's a great part of world history. And it's a family-friendly movie with great imagery, great action, great story, great voice acting chemistry. Prince of Egypt at number three for me.
Prince of Egypt is definitely a classic. It's definitely ahead of its time. It was revolutionary at the time for movies in general. And it's everything you said about it is true. It's just, it goes above and beyond any sort of religion. And yes, I know it's a movie about religion, but it's bigger than that. And there are certain films that do that, and this is definitely one of them.
Good, brother. What do you have at number three?
So I'll be honest. My top three, honestly, could all be interchangeable between one, two, and three any day of the week, but I feel real confident in this. My number three is How to Train Your Dragon, and it's the first one, specifically. That movie is just so good in every level. Like, we keep throwing points, but it really is a perfect movie. It's one of those films that you're like, this is on the level of a Toy Story. This is on the level of anything Pixar's ever done. This really puts DreamWorks beside the Shrek franchise on that level of, oh, now, okay, they're in here too, and they're doing it fantastic. It's one of the only films that you see take an Oscar away from Disney. Its voice acting is so charming with Gerard Butler and Jay, and the fact that it's a boy and his dog, but they replaced the dog with dragons in this old Viking world about the idea of the dragons are the enemies, but now they're really not the enemies. They're our pets and our friends, and it's a beautiful movie, and I just can't say enough about the franchise in general, but that first one hits on a whole new level. Everything about it, love it. How to Train Your Dragon at number three.
Your number three, good brother, is my number two. I absolutely adore How to Train Your Dragons. The big thing for me is Shrek made DreamWorks a marketable smash hit company. How to Train Your Dragon made DreamWorks a critically acclaimed studio. This was a company now that can go up toe-to-toe against Pixar on its best days. How to Train Your Dragon is something you thought only Pixar can do, where it makes you feel like these things are real and that you're really flying with dragons. The whimsicalness in it is amazing. The coming of age story of it is pure in its own sense, and the voice acting is really good. It's not overwhelming. It's within its storyline. Sometimes when you get the biggest of name actors, it can really hurt the script, but getting somebody who can portray that type of character, and there was never a moment in How to Train Your Dragon where it felt like the cast was bigger than the movie. It always felt like that story was it. It wasn't about selling you a superstar. It wasn't about selling you the voice actors. It was about selling you this story. And I think there's something really pure to that. But good brother, we finally get a chance to see your top two. And we start off with your number two. What do you have for us?
I think it's funny that your number two was my number three. And my number two is your number three. My number two is Prince of Egypt. And beside everything we already said about it, I think you said it perfectly, but I'll add on, it's not just a beautiful movie. It's a movie that doesn't pander because it's anime. It tells that story is so brutal and beautiful at the same time of Moses. And the fact that it's done in anime form, and it adds this colorfulness to it. At the same time, it doesn't hold back with its grittiness either. And again, to the ears, it's beautiful. To the eyes, it's beautiful. To the soul, it's beautiful. It's just one of those films that's bigger than an animated film.
I can gush over The Prince of Egypt all single day. I think it not only the telling of it, the animation, you know, I gushed about it before, but I think there's just something great about that movie. And if you've noticed, a lot of movies try doing that. There was a lot of religious movies that thought they could do the same thing, but it's the uniqueness of it. It was great directing, great script, and great voice acting. You can't just manufacture that. That doesn't just come out of the box. And I think a lot of movies try to be The Prince of Egypt, and they couldn't quite get to that level.
I agree. I think there's a list of movies like Prince of Egypt, I'd say, The Ten Commandments, The Passion of the Christ, Diary of Anne Frank, The Pianist, Schindler's List. Those are films that, regardless of the religious tone to them, they're classic cinema, and that's very rare when you have such a big message of religion that people can look past that and accepted at the same time enjoying a film. So those are all just such a, that's what's fun about film. And I think those movies specifically with Prince of Egypt does it best.
And speaking of cinema classics, some would say even a religious experience, at number one, Good Brother, on my top five Universal cartoon films, I have Shrek. I mean, if it isn't for the pop culture references, it isn't for the great music, if it isn't for the great voice acting, if it isn't for the fact that they made fairy tales cool again, Shrek changed the way cartoons and digital cartoons were made. It was kind of a slap in the face to Disney and Pixar in all the best of ways. Sometimes when companies like to take digs at other company, it comes out kind of lame, kind of cheesy. That wasn't the case with Shrek, at least the first one. The first Shrek was pure in all its best ways. It was a lampoon of Disney films. And what Mike Myers, Cameron Diaz, Eddie Murphy brought to this film, and what you get with John Lithgow, for God's sake, and later on with Antonio Banderas, it's so much fun. And that's the best part about it. It's fun, but it's heartfelt at the same time. And everybody knows the Little Red Riding Hood, the Three Pigs, the Gingerbread Man, the Muffin Man, the Muffin Man. I mean, there's so many great things about this movie, and I could gush over and over about it, but the fact that it's a pop culture relevant film that also critics love, families love, that created a series, that created cartoons, that created video games, that created, if it wasn't for Shrek, who knows if we get Despicable Me, who knows if we get the Minions, who knows if we get Secret Life of Pets. Shrek is responsible for a lot of that. What Shrek did, not only as a award nominee, an award level type of thing, but it was a pop culture phenomenon. How to Train Your Dragon is a critical smash and did a lot of great things in the market. Shrek did it all and did it before everybody else. And that's why it's my number one Universal / DreamWorks cartoon.
Shrek 1's fantastic. And the only reason it's not on my list is because I have what I think the better version is Shrek 2. Everything you said about Shrek 1 adds to Shrek 2. I look at Shrek 1 and 2 as Godfather 1 and 2, where they're both perfect movies. And they both, you know, basically built a company. And besides the voice acting and the animation, I think the reason I picked number 2 is because it does everything Part 1 does. And like the Godfather 2, it adds a whole new layer. Antonio Banderas, Puss in Boots, is one of the best animated characters ever. There's a reason he got his own film franchise and show franchise. And again, the only reason I pick it above number one is, one, I think it just literally takes everything we love in the first one and it just doubles it and it works and it does it right before it becomes a parody, like in the next few ones that I still enjoy, but they definitely become a parody of themselves. I think Part 2 is the perfect version of it, and that's why I related to Godfather 2, where it took everything we love and it just did it a bigger layer over.
That is a great way of putting it. It definitely did change the stakes. Unfortunately for Shrek, unlike Toy Story, it does take a dip in quality, you know, objectively speaking. But at the same time, they're all fun films. They all kept pretty much the same DNA in them. Some of them a little bit more than others. But the first two Shrek films are awesome fairy tales on top of it. They're great stories if you're into the Grimm's fairy tales or if you love things like The Princess Bride. There's a lot of greatness to a lot of these things. And I think a lot of it came to the people who made it grew up in the 80s when we got a lot of these like great stories and these epicness of them. And then on top of it, the Disney generation. But it also, do you remember when the first one came out, what DQ would do with the dirt ice cream? And when you would go everywhere and there was a donkey toy, there was a plushie of it, or everybody had the green ears of Shrek. They were one of the first ones too that wasn't a Disney film that was able to market themselves to children at McDonald's and at Burger King and all these different places. It is really important to mention how important Shrek is to animation.
Like you said, we haven't seen anything from DreamWorks to do what Shrek did until recently with Minions. Like, that's, if you want to see a modern tale of it, imagine what Minions is doing, but even more so in the public eye. And I think that's the easiest way to relate it. Like you said, it was so big for its time in general, but the fact that it wasn't a Disney property doing this was unheard of at the time.
Smash Mouth or I Need a Hero in Part 2? Which one do you like more?
I think everything about Part 2 is just a little bit better than Part 1, but we're talking about 2 10 out of 10 movies. It's almost like a Toy Story 1 through 3 discussion of, they're all 10 out of 10s. It's just, which one do you prefer? like I said, I'm more of a part two.
I absolutely love it, Good Brother. I love both of these films, and it is easy to see why they were our number ones. Good Brother, before we run them down, you want to give some quick honorable mentions? What did you have?
An American Tale was the only one I really wanted to talk about. The soundtrack, and we already discussed a little bit. I don't know if you had any different ones that we hadn't reached right now.
Yes, I do, Good Brother. I have one for you, one that you're going to love. We're Back, A Dinosaur Story. John Goodman himself as a Tyrannosaurus Rex. I mean, again, you talk about imagery that scarred us for life when they turn into monkeys and when they turn into the bad dinosaur versions of themselves. I absolutely adore We're Back. It didn't make my list because, obviously, objectively speaking, it's not the best when it comes to it, and it hasn't aged all that great. But you talk about the stereotypical 90s movie after Jurassic Park and with John Goodman, what else do you need than We're Back, A Dinosaur Story? One of the only movies that I saw blood for the first time in a cartoon as well when they signed the contract. I absolutely adore that movie.
No, I love it too, and it's almost like My Little Toaster, where I've seen it a million times as a child, and I cannot remember anything about that movie besides John Goodman and the way the dinosaurs look. Story-wise, besides them turning evil, I remember nothing about it. And again, we've seen that movie so many times.
It's funny, right? But it definitely was in the rotation. But yeah, you're right. I can't tell you why they're alive, how they are alive. I remember them being in a parade in New York City.
Funny.
Yeah, it's a funny movie. And John Goodman's so charming, obviously, everything he does. Yeah. So, but I wanted to give a quick shout out to that. Good Brother, you ready to run down this list?
Let's do it.
At number five, I had The Land Before Time. The Good Brother had
The Road to El Dorado.
At number four, I had An American Tale, 5-0 Goes West. The Good Brother had
Spirit.
At number three, I had The Prince of Egypt. The Good Brother had
How to Train Your Dragon Part 1.
At number two, I had How to Train Your Dragon Part 1. The Good Brother had
Prince of Egypt.
And at number one, I had Shrek Part 1. The Good Brother had
Shrek 2.
Good Brother, what an absolutely fun list. What do you think about this entire journey of the Universal Cartoon Studios and the merger with DreamWorks and this list that we came up with?
It's fun to go back and look at early DreamWorks because we're right now in a renaissance for DreamWorks yet again, where you had the Shrek songs, you know, and you had those, you know, Road to El Dorado tier, and then they hit it big, and then the Minions and the Despicable Me's came out, and that's already kind of on its, you know, parody of itself. So I'm very interested to see what they're going to do next. I think it's kind of what Disney does, and they're going to go backward a little, and maybe we'll get another Shrek soon. You know, they finally ended the How to Train Your Dragon series. Minions, we're getting the sequel. So I'm very interested to see where this company is going. They're definitely heading a Pets direction in general and a Boss Baby direction, and I think it's definitely hitting its audience that it needs to, and that's what we got to remember when it comes to anything animated, is they have to hit a modern audience while keeping their old one. But at the end of the day, that modern audience is the one they're aiming for.
And it's a great point you brought up because, you know, maybe Sing or Secret Life of Pets 1 and 2 aren't necessarily for us. You get something out of them, and they are great for children. So, like you said, that is the most important thing. And every once in a while, we get great films like a Shrek or How to Train Your Dragon or Kubo and the Trolls. Two Strings. Yeah, and Trolls, we'll see how that ends up playing out in the theaters and moving forward. But good, bro.
$100 million on demand, what started our whole conversation for Universal and DreamWorks, that we were, the reason we even made this the top five list was because of how successful it was, that they're even considering that, well, we don't need a release in theater because we made $100 million already. So that's fascinating. And I actually do enjoy the Trolls franchise, and the modern stuff is actually not bad, honestly. It's, I wouldn't say Pixar level like the Cocos and the Inside Outs, but it definitely has its audience.
And finally, Good Brother, before we get out of here, what is your favorite Universal Studio ride, or maybe even Island of Adventure ride?
I think Universal Studios is the far better one. If I wanted to do roller coasters, I'd go to Six Flags. If I went through attraction ride, I would have to say I love the original Jaws. I thought it's a great ride, but I'm going to go with Jurassic Park, the one in Universal Orlando. Yeah, I'm definitely going to go with that one. That one, I love it. It still scares me in a big T-Rex animatronic. It goes from a water ride. It's fun. That would, between those two, one I would have to say Jurassic Park.
Totally agree. I absolutely love the Jurassic Park one, and I really like that Dueling Dragons roller coaster. The Incredible Hulk one was really fun too. The gimmick of it going really fast to start off with is amazing. But you and I have been really spoiled growing up in the greatest city in the world, Chicago. Outside of Chicago, in Gurnee, Illinois, there is Six Flags Great America, which have had some phenomenal roller coasters. But you and I are geeks when it comes to theme parks, and Universal not only making great cartoons, great movies, they have great theme parks. And this was a great conversation, a fun conversation to have with you, good brother. Any final thoughts about our Universal Studios conversations?
No, it was fun, and I can't wait to do more movies.
Thank you guys so much for joining us here on the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers on the Mercado Airwaves Network. We've had a lot of fun talking about the Universal Studios situation going on with Trolls and the movie theater companies. It's been a little nice to get back to a little normalcy, talking a little bit of the major news in pop culture, film, and entertainment, along with video games and everything in between. But we're also having a hell of a time doing our top five lists and giving them out to each and every one of you. And you guys can also keep in touch with us everywhere in the universe. The Good Brothers on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. Make sure you guys give us a like, rate, review, and share us wherever you get your favorite podcast at Mercado Airwaves. And while you're at it, please do us a huge favor. If you guys please leave a comment, it really helps us grow the charts, grow in the charts, and it would really help grow the brand, and we would really appreciate it from the bottom of our heart and the bottom of Alex's little itty-bitty black heart. And while you're at it, please like us on Facebook as well. For the good brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Adios.
I'm the good brother, Mike Mercado. We'll see you in the next episode of the Good Brothers here on the Mercado Airwaves Network.
Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at Typing When Tipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves, our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod, our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More, and of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network, and of course, you can support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win content prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network.